never rests.
What is up, everybody? It is the Georgia Show, an emergency edition of the Georgia Show. As you all know at this point, or many of you probably do, Jared Curtis has committed to Georgia, and we're going to get to that. But first of all, listen, we are always presented by American Pride Bank. American Pride Bank is the bank for your small business who want local, fast, and flexible solutions. Whether you're a member, whether you're looking for a loan to expand in everyday banking, or whether you're looking for something business related, they've got you covered. You'll always talk to a decision maker. Visit them at one of their locations in Georgia or online at AmericanPride.bank. American Pride Bank, growing businesses nationwide, member FDIC, and an equal opportunity lender. And Rusty, man, that happened so quick. There was not, I thought they were going to play a whole video and give the reveal at the end. Nope. Jared Curtis just unzips a shirt, says, I've committed to Georgia. And that was it. And I don't know that we should have expected anything less. I know that this recruitment kind of got painted as a, hey, this kid's out, you know, looking for money, and all of them get painted this way. But I don't know, man, listening to you talk to Newberg about it before he went on, it really kind of brought it home to me, kind of the reason that they opened up the recruitment to begin with was to do it right. And I think you may have saw there in that commitment ceremony just how little fanfare there was involved with it. Maybe that this kid would prefer it to be a little low key.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't listen. He could have done all the interviews. He could have done everything he wanted to. Check it out. That's our guy, SEC Mike, football podcast, checking in, and appreciate you always tuning in, Mike. It could have been, you know, he could have done interviews every day. He could have had people at his school every day. He could have had the limelight. We could have had more views and more stories on Jared Curtis than anybody in the 2026 class if he wanted it that way. He didn't want it that way. He shut it down. I can't remember the last time he's talked to any media, period. And, he handled it. I think he did his due diligence. You know, Justin Hopkins from our Scoop Duck site said he took 3 visits to Oregon while he was decommitted to Georgia. So he took them serious. He took a long look at Oregon. And I can assure you right now that Oregon made him a priority. Oregon made him their number one quarterback target. They went all in after him. Don't get him at the end. Georgia stayed consistent the whole time. But I do think the way that was handled with that family when he decommitted and me trying to tell the dog walk, the message board, that, hey, Georgia's still in this, but they've been programmed to go, it's over. We're not getting him. Let's move to the next guy. And I kept telling you now, that Georgia's in this thing. Let's see how it goes. And Mike Bobo, man, all the credit in the world. He stayed consistent. He stayed on this kid, and he got him today.
You know, I look back over the years, Rusty, and maybe this is a story to work on tomorrow, right? The guys that Georgia reeled back in, and I think about over the Jared Wilson comes to mind. Warren Brinson comes to mind. I can't really think of a whole lot of other guys at this point, but I'm sure there are more. How you handle that decommitment is big,
especially at that position, at that position. What is your makeup as a kid and as a family? How did you handle that privately?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I look at that and I look back and I think about Justin Fields visiting Georgia for a practice during COVID after everything that had gone down, or maybe it was post COVID. I can't remember. I think it was during COVID. And, listen, you make a decision. You know, Kirby has said it many times, and I've disagreed with Kirby on stuff before, and Kirby hasn't been very nice to us media at times. I get it. It's not like I think Kirby hung the moon. I don't. I think Kirby's a man who's just good at his job.
But he definitely hanged the moon.
But I think about how, you know, Kirby talks about post-game, you know, going forward on 4th-and-2. That was a decision I made 30 years ago. And I truly, I don't necessarily believe that, but I do when it comes to kids decommitting, because the proof's in the pudding over and over and over again that guys decommit, Kirby does not burn the bridge. Guys sign elsewhere, Kirby does not burn the bridge. And oftentimes those guys come back, or you see them have a moment after a game or something like that. Man, I'm telling you, it's hard to argue with that taking the high road in these situations when I know it's frustrating. I know it's frustrating. him to put all of that work in to have this kid decommit in October during a huge game week. Texas is on the schedule. Huge game week. You got to deal with your quarterback, you know, decommitting and to hold it together and to keep it on the rails. I mean, nice job by the staff, man. Nice job.
Yeah, you look at Xavier McLeod, a kid they didn't get the first time. And he transfers. You look at Caleb Downs. They didn't get him the first time. Damn sure almost got him the second time, didn't get him. But you see where the bridges were never burned on those guys and those types of things. So, listen, they've been doing this long. These guys have been doing this long enough. It's not personal. They'll go into the next battle. But it's different, man, when it's a quarterback. I mean, that is a different type of recruitment. And when you go in and get one of these and you get locked in on one, and then all of a sudden you're battling daggum Oregon and a good friend of yours and Dan Lanning. How awkward was it last week when Dan Lanning and Kirby Smart playing golf together down at Lake Oconee? Can you imagine, like, trying not to really, you know, mention it or do it? But these guys, those guys were real close now. They got the same agent together for a long time. They're friends now. So don't get me wrong. They want to beat each other as you know what. But those guys are pretty close in the coaching circle. But they also understand they got a job to do, and they're trying to beat one another in this recruiting battle. So, you know, kudos, Kirby Smart, Mike Bobo. I don't think we could mention this. I don't think anybody has mentioned this. Montgomery Van Gorder was a big part of this before he left to go to the NFL. This was a guy that helped recruit every day on this deal. Now, he left back in early spring to go to the NFL. He was an off-the-field guy. You know,
Georgia had Curtis on campus when that happened, and we said at the time,
yes,
it's going to happen. You want that kid in front of you. You want to be able to sit down and sit. You don't want to try to – want to be looking for ways to get him on the phone when something like that happens.
Be out in front of, you know. So that's one of those things there too. I don't think that's got enough mention, but that was certainly a piece of this pie. So looking at Georgia, I don't know how else you can sugarcoat it. This is as big as it gets. I said this was the, I don't know if you saw that Jackson Cantwell was actually in the comments, you know, while we're on live with Josh Newberg. So, you know, he made a couple of comments and got in and got out. So, you know, you look at the eyes, and that's the next decision that's going to be made. And I said on the previous our national show, I was confident two people knew today. It was Hayes Fawcett and Jackson Cantwell, what was about to happen, who this kid was about to commit to. And, you know, I don't know why I say Georgia got him. And I looked, Jake, so he camped for the first time on June the 16th, 2022. So that means that would be right at the end of his freshman year. Fast forward till the next January. Georgia saw him in a throwing session that morning. They offered him on January the 20th of 2023. He commits in March of 24, decommits in October of 2024, and then recommits on May the 5th, 2025. So that tells you how long they've been involved, and there's no telling how many conversations have taken place since then.
Yeah, and I know I keep going back to it, but during the season, right, early in the week, and you got Texas coming up, you've got, I don't know, and he decommits, and it's Ohio State's brought up, and Oregon's brought up, and, I mean, like you said, you told everybody, hey, Georgia's not out of this. And man, that was the farthest thing from everybody's mind at that point. They were ready to kind of write this one off and kind of move on to the next. And we've talked about so many contingency plans, like what would Georgia do? And they're not necessarily contingency plans. Jared Curtis went ahead and figured it out before everybody else did. He decided what he wanted to do before Bo Bentley and Landon Duckworth and before the kid that's committed to Oklahoma, Jaden O'Neal, has decided to make a final decision and really shut it down. So, you know, this is the one, and you know, this is the one that it was almost like this is the most important one because it's the next one. And, you know, now Georgia's got him in the fold. I don't think that they're going to take another quarterback in this class, especially with what they cost now. Maybe someone pops up at late stages like Hezekiah Melander did in the last class. But, you know, getting your guy at quarterback kind of means something. And this is the highest ranked guy that Georgia has gotten in a long time at the quarterback position. And we'll see how it ends up ranked. But being a number 6 overall, number 3 overall in the On3 recruiting, on the On300, which is our in-house stuff. And the number 1 player in Tennessee across the board. And, you know, nobody has him ranked lower than number 13 nationally. So this is a very much an elite prospect that Georgia's gotten a quarterback. And they had to win a tough battle because, Oregon came down to the final 2 with Oregon, right? that was nowhere near the only people in this. I can't tell you, watching Hugh Freeze go in home and him take, or not Hugh Freeze, their quarterback coach, go in home. Everybody said Auburn. Everybody said Alabama. Everybody said Ohio State at different points. And it seems like, it, to an extent, it was always Georgia.
He had, in January, he had Bill Belichick. He had Ryan Day. He had Kirby Smart. He had Kalen DeBoer. All those guys were in his home in January.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, so, I mean, that's wild. And you saw all the pictures. Everybody took the pictures at the same spot in the house, too, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that. If you saw his Instagram, you saw everybody kind of posed for the same photo.
The Christmas tree was up in January. Remember that?
I love it. My kind of people, right?
So
yeah, no doubt. A lot of go dogs in the comments. Obviously, it's a cool day. And Rusty, we know that, you know, this is the world we live in. What's next? What's next? You just landed a 5-star quarterback, but hey, what is next? And, you know, listen, we would love for people to celebrate this thing and stuff like that, but this is where we are now. We do move on to the next. And I think the attention is a big target. If you're trying to find the next one, for Georgia.
Yeah. Well, it's Jackson Cantwell, who's the 5-star number one rated offensive tackle
player,
pretty much kind of industry wide. And he's going to decide. What's decide on the 13th?
About the day. He'll be in Athens this weekend, and apparently Jared Curtis will be too.
Yep. So, you know, that's a big deal, and that's the next one. And if Georgia, you know, goes from, so we're sitting here on May. Just say you're sitting here at lunch on May the 5th. They were 17th in the country. At 6 p.m., they're already 7th in the on 3 recruiting rankings. And then if you land another 5-star 8 days from now, you know, you're back to where you're kind of rolling. And you know, these are two kids. This is another kid that has had 2.5 years of visits to Georgia. It's certainly not going to hurt, man, with Jared Curtis now publicly a Georgia Bulldog, where he can turn it loose on social media and recruit the crap out of everybody trying to join him.
One thing I want to leave people with today, before we head out, Rusty, is the common refrain in college football now is it's all about money. And listen, money plays a bigger role than it ever has. It's open. There's nothing under the table. Guys were bought at the last minute back in the day, but nothing kind of like it's happening these days. I think Pete Nakos was on with Josh Newberg before all this went down, and he, you know, listen, it's pretty clear that Georgia was not the, you know, overall highest bidder here. And it seems that the Bulldogs have found a little bit of a kind of a magic sauce there, a little bit of secret sauce when it comes to, it's not like he's coming cheap. I get it.
Yeah.
But like you've said many times, and we've said too, if it's the main thing, then Georgia is committed to not letting it be the main thing for them. And I think that's something that, listen, if you want to wrap your head around something in the game today that is kind of on the good side, kind of on the feel-good side, the noble side of it, I think this is one of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If Jared Curtis wanted to open this thing up and say highest bidder, it would have got a lot of money involved. It would have got a lot of money involved. Georgia did not get him cheap by any means. And, you know, he's a 5-star quarterback. He's got an NFL agent. Okay. So it wasn't like Uncle Rusty was sitting there trying to negotiate that deal for him. They knew what he was worth and what he, you know, what kind of things. He's also, listen, he's got a marketing team around him. He already has. Now there's a question right here. Says Nico said under $1 million per year. He already has a massive, massive, massive trading card deal. So I'm not going to get into his private stuff because that's his stuff. But he has a very, very lucrative trading card deal. So, you know, all that together, you know, when you start talking about total salary, there's a lot of money on the table that this young man is going to be able to earn, and good for him. But, you know, it's not like he just came to Georgia. It's just a random number out there. He has NIL capability as well, and he's getting it already in high school. He already has a marketing team that's working with him. So he's going to have some true NIL power. He's going to be one of those few, Jake, as a quarterback and as a kid like this to where he's going to get rev share, really good salary, and he's going to get really good NIL money because he's already got a good team around him.
Yeah, 100%. And that's where it goes now. I mean, that's where you can kind of set yourself up, whether you make it or not. It's a high bust position, and I don't blame these guys for getting what they can get because regulation of some sort or a market correction, it's coming at some point. We've been kind of predicting it here for a while, and it hasn't come yet, but it's the way things work. And this won't be as lucrative for the players for as long as it has been, you know, going forward. But listen, all eyes turn to Jackson Cantwell visiting next weekend. He'll decide, was it 13th? That's not a week from today. That's next Tuesday. So it's a week from tomorrow. And that'll be the next big domino there. If Georgia can land him, you see Georgia jumping into the top five of the team rankings, and all of a sudden things are rolling. You're starting to turn your attention to other major prospects like Mark Bowman, like Tyler Atkinson, like James Johnson on the defensive line. There are a lot of things left out there, and you know where to follow it. It's at Dogs HQ. We'll have you covered. And, hey, we appreciate you. Thanks to American Pride Bank for putting us on here. Jared Curtis, 5-star quarterback, commits to Georgia for a second time, and I got a feeling this one sticks. Y'all take it easy.